This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
I've told you, and we've talked about it, is the fact that the moment the show ended last night, I went straight to the store and got ready, because at 9 o'clock I was able to get one of the first editions of the store that the store was giving out of MLB The Show. So what I decided to do is we're going to have a little bit of fun, because Brian Mazzeek of Forbes Magazine is joining us right now. He has a tremendous critique of MLB The Show. And Brian, man, I appreciate you coming on, because I don't think people realize how, like, people our age, how much games like this is, how big it really is for people like us.
Yeah, it's huge. I've been blessed enough to make a living writing about, I write about others. I write about real sports too, but a great deal of what I write about is cyber sports,
yeah,
so to speak. So it's huge, man. It runs on the same type of calendar that real sports runs on, so you know what's happening each month of every year. Yeah, it's a joy.
And it's unique for us because, you know, if like, you know, I see you got tons of critiques about NBA 2K17, which is, to me, one of the most fun sports games, even if you're not a basketball game fan to play. But during the times that it's loading up, they start showing all the different tournaments and everything that's going on. I mean, it's not like it's a bunch of 14-year-olds out there playing. I mean, these are guys that have turned this into a career. The Madden tournament that just happened a couple of weeks ago, or during the Super Bowl, I mean, those guys are like 30 and 40 years old, and you're watching them going, why didn't you pass to this guy? Why didn't you pass to that guy? Like, the whole time you're like yelling at the TV screen because you've been in that exact same guy's situation in his shoes.
Yes, yes. I went to a last year NBA 2K's Road to the Finals esports event in Los Angeles. And, you know, there's literally a studio audience there. Kobe was there. Paul George was there. A lot of different Rick Foxes, and you know, there's literally a studio audience there. Kobe was there. Paul George was there. A lot of different Rick Foxes there, who's heavy in the esports now. He's investing there. And, you know, there's this humongous screen, and we're literally watching these two teams play each other. You know, in NBA 2K, you have Pro-Am. You have each person has controlling a player.
Yeah.
And the crowd is reacting to missed shots, to bad shot selection, to crazy turnovers, to guys playing hero ball, doing too much on their own. So, yeah, man, it's a legit competition.
Now, how long have you had MLB The Show?
I got it probably Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, so it wasn't too much in front of everybody else, but what was the first thing you thought when you got the game? What was the intro? We talked about the intro video, because that, to me, that had me tingling, man. That seriously, yeah, got some emotions going in me.
Well, they're known for their intros, so every year when you first boot the game up, that's one of the first things that, you know, if you're a hardcore show fan, you know their production crew puts in work with the intro. And this year I thought was really cool. I thought they went away from what they have done in the past with showing some really cool in-game footage,
right,
and stuff like that. And they really leaned heavily on the memories and the nostalgia, which I think this was the perfect year to do that. I am a Chicago Cubs fan, have been for over 30 years. So, you know, right after the Cubs win the World Series is the perfect time to go nostalgic.
So that ending got you too, huh?
Yeah. I was waiting on the Cubs part, because I'm like, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I could tell how this is going. I know where we're going. And so every time I hear the words and the Cubs win the World Series, I throw my hands up like it just happened. So,
hey, I'll tell you right now, over the past 3 days, as now we're going into kind of a side conversation, because I've been a Cubs fan since 98, and I promise you, over the past 3 days, I've somehow rewatched Joy of Wrigleyville, which I promise you can't get through that without crying. last night on FS1, they did the World Series video for the Cubs. I watched that, and then just all of a sudden, right before MLB Show, and then that happened. I promise you, like, I think I cried like 4 times just watching it. Hearing Joe Buck when he says slow ground ball to Chris Bryant, like, that right there, that just gets me going, right, the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I called my father. I called all types of people. You know, when it happened, me and my son sat here in the middle, like in the living room, and hugged. people don't really realize it unless you've been a Cub fan for a long time. You understand what it feels like. But, yeah, it's a crazy deal. And MLB The Show actually did a two or three years ago, they did a commercial campaign.
Yes.
With a guy playing and winning the World Series with the Cubs. And he's in his apartment, and he's, like, crying because the celebration is happening on the game. So it's funny.
And even with Wrigley and the way that it has grown in this baseball game, I mean, for me, I love the fact that if I'm going and playing at Wrigley Field in the game starting in April, I've got dead ivy around the field. I mean, what kind of details are you seeing in MLB The Show 17 that wasn't in 16 or 15?
Well, that kind of stuff has been there for some time.
Yeah.
They've had that going there for some time. I'm seeing a lot more stuff with lighting. I feel like all of the graphics pop a little bit more this year than they have in the past. We have some nice animations that weren't there in the past. They've added a couple of them that probably really need some tweaking. Like, as I mentioned in my review, there's a check swing animation that's really weird looking. But
yeah,
that's the beauty of games today as opposed to games 25 years ago. When, you know, you would get a game, I'm going to show you how long I've been playing games. There was a baseball video game called Bases Loaded.
Oh, one, two, or three?
The first one.
Oh, Bases Loaded 1 was legit.
Yeah, but there was a glitch in the game, you know, and back in the day, you used to be able to call up the developers. They had the little phone number in the instruction book. You could call the number and actually speak to a person who actually made the game. So I remember calling the guys at Jellico, that's the company I believe that made the game, and I said, you know, hey, every time this happens, such a thing happens. And the guy says, yeah, it's a known problem. You know, it's nothing we can do about it. And that's the way games were then.
Yep.
If it was a problem, it was just a problem. There was no patch. There was no update that was coming to fix it. So now we do have that to at least look forward to. So I think the check swing animation issue that I see is probably going to be cleaned up probably within the next 2-3 days.
Let me ask you, because I started seeing this last night when I was playing, and I didn't recognize it until I got into a game with a really good center fielder. And you know the startup game that they make you play between the Cubs and the Indians as everything is installing. There's a player for the Indians, and he hits a ball out to left field, which I hate Kyle Schwarber being in left field, regardless of that. But when he hits the fly ball, the baseball that where you're going to be catching it doesn't come up automatically. And I didn't really think about it in the beginning. I was like, oh, well, that kind of makes it a little bit more challenging to catch a fly ball. But then when I went and played with somebody like the Rays, who have like one of the best center fielders in baseball, the ball automatically comes up. Is that something that they specifically said that, okay, if you've got an outfielder that's not really good at catching fly balls, that's going to be something that makes it harder for you on the game, and that's the reason why you can't just put anybody in the outfield?
No, that's I think what probably happened in your situation was the ball was probably out of play.
Oh, dang.
That's why it didn't come up. or it's a setting.
Yeah.
Because if the game was installing, then you didn't get a chance to customize any of your settings, how you wanted the field markers to come up and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So you're kind of playing on a default way. The higher the ball is in the air, the bigger the ball circle is on the field. If it's a lower line drive, that circle might have just been so small that maybe you just didn't catch it as you were trying to lumber over there with Schwarber.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, well, no wonder I couldn't find the ball because it's Kyle Schwarber and he can't catch anything in the outfield. That was my first thought.
What I do know is they did put in some logic to kind of combat people who would just try to stack their lineups with all the best hitters, irregardless to positions on the field.
Yeah.
So there's a bigger penalty if you place a guy out of position, but not necessarily a guy who's just not a good fielder.
Okay.
I mean, a guy who's not a good fielder, he's more prone to errors, and then obviously Schwarber's slower, so his range is automatically going to be compromised because he doesn't run that fast. So, You know, I mean, I'm obviously I like Schwarber, but I was one of the few Cubs fans saying that they should trade him this offseason.
Hey, well, see, and I was one that was going, I love Schwarber, and I to an extent, I agree with you because I think that he would be an amazing at a DH position. I wish he would go back to catcher, but when you have now one of the best young catchers in baseball coming up, yep. You kind of really can't put him there now, so you kind of have to place him somewhere. So, yep. I understand, and speaking of the young players, the whole Road to the Show thing has gotten totally changed this year. What all did they do with Road to the Show?
They implemented something that's a role-playing game component, and they call it Pave Your Path. Essentially, they've known for some years, based off of community feedback, that the Road to the Show is the single-player campaign mode, which is very similar or reminiscent to NBA 2K's My Career.
Yeah.
They've known for a while that they needed to add some personality to that mode. And instead of going the direct, dramatic storyline route that 2K uses, which sometimes can be a little heavy-handed, i.e. the NBA 2K was at 15 or 16 when there was Living the Dream that Spike Lee directed. A lot of people felt that
yes. It
was too heavy-handed. So this year, with the show, what they decided to do is go with documentary style. I like it on one hand, but on the other hand, it feels pretty bare bones at this point. They need some more footage and even more personality, but I do like the fact that we're not chained necessarily to a storyline, but I'd like to see a few more cut scenes.
What about it, as we're joined right now by Brian Mazeek, you can follow him on Twitter at Unique Mazeek. It rhymes. Good job. And the online, the Diamond Dynasty, that's something I didn't get into until last year. I was like, oh, okay, great. I got these baseball cards. I don't really care. The ability to customize your jerseys and your uniforms, it becomes adds a whole new dynamic to it. Did they change anything in that? Did they amplify that at all and make some tweaks to it?
They've added some new missions, which is like kind of a little side mission type of deals where they're fun to do. So they might say something like, okay, this is the old National League West challenge.
Okay.
So you can only use players from the National League West, and you'll be playing against teams in the National League West. And so the reward may be a great player whose career was predominantly spent with a National League West team. So they have different missions like that they've added. So just a lot more content because those modes are generally referred to as collector's mode.
Yeah.
The first ever one was Ultimate Team in FIFA, and EA branched it out to Madden Ultimate Team. NHL has Ultimate Team. Even EA Sports UFC has Ultimate Team, even though it's horrible, but they do have it. they have that, and then 2K ended up picking up My Team, which is the same concept. I think that the show has done really well with Diamond Dynasty, their version of a collection mode. It's grown quite a bit over the last few years because when it first started, it was pretty bare bones, which if you follow the show series, you know that's how they work.
Yeah.
They introduce something on a really small level, and then they kind of add layer to it version after version.
And that's something seriously, I was really all on board. Like, I didn't even, last year I had MLB The Show. I got it the night that it came out, just like I did last night. And I never played a single regular season game because if I was playing, I was playing either online franchises or I was playing Diamond Dynasty. I mean, like, that Diamond Dynasty just got me hooked. Like, it was awesome. I love the way that it matches you up with somebody around the country that you are on the exact same level as and talent-wise as. I love all those things. What are some other things that people aren't even thinking of that's going to make this game even better, though?
Well, I'm a franchise mode guy. Yeah. Through and through. Like, that's the reason that I play sports video games, is to basically create my own sports gaming universe. And the modes that allow you to do that the most is franchise mode. And the show has that. They've added a couple of things to franchise mode because the biggest thing about baseball franchise modes is it's difficult to get through an entire season unless you're trimming it down to 50 games and so on and so forth. And then if you do that, now you're messing with statistics.
Exactly.
And we all know how stat-powered baseball is.
So
you don't necessarily want to mess with stats. But they've come up with something called critical situations that allow you to play through more games quicker. So you don't play each game in a full, the full nine innings necessarily. They'll inject you into the most impacting situations in the game. So you might say, they might prompt you with, okay, it's the bottom of the seventh inning. There's two runners on. You got Anthony Rizzo up to the plate, two outs, and Jarice Familia is on the mound. Take this at bat. So you take that at bat to try to basically drive in runs, maybe to put the Cubs ahead or to come from behind to tie the game, whatever. Then there's save opportunities like that. There's even individual milestone stuff where you're like, okay, the guy, you know, Chris Bryant has already hit two home runs today. Take this at bat to see if you can go deep for a third time. Or Javier Baez is on a 22-game hitting streak. Can you extend it to 23 games?
Awesome.
So you get a chance to – and the cool thing about it is, too, some of those individual components, they take on a player lock type of a mode. So if your critical situation is about Javier Baez, then you will only be controlling Javier Baez for the remaining portion of that game. So that's in the field, that's at the plate. So all of that stuff speeds the game up, and you can go through an entire game in, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, awesome.
So now you're, you know, chopping through it that way. And when I first saw it, I was like, I don't know. I think that takes the control out of my hands a little bit more than I want.
Yeah.
But once you start to do it, you really do feel still like you're still plugged into your team.
What do you think about SunTrust? How does it look on the game?
It looks really good. It looks really good. It does look really good. A lot of people are putting up images of that, so I had to go and check it out myself. I thought it looks – I mean, I'm going to tell you, they did something with stadiums this year that is amazing, and it's really cool for baseball because I've been on them, and, I mean, I've spoken to developers. I've been out there to talk to them, but I've been on them heavy to give us a creative ballpark option.
Please.
I really want that. I mean, I think that because, to be honest, baseball is the sport that it matters most because
yes.
Every football field is 100 yards. You know, every basketball court is 94 feet, 6 inches. But baseball is the only sport where the actual field of play is different and it plays a part in how the game is played. So it really needs to be in there. So what they did was they have every single ballpark has all of these different sections, and these sections have algorithms and formulas where the announcers in the game actually know what part of the field the ball is in. So, for an example, if you hit a home run and it goes into the waterfall in Kansas City, they know to refer to the ball going in the waterfall.
Sweet.
If it goes into a certain mezzanine section at SunTrust Field, it makes reference to that. So I thought that was really cool. Now I just need them to give me a creative ballpark and we'll be really good.
No, I seriously agree because that's what I was thinking of is, you know, you can give me your ball uniforms. I can have college uniforms. I can create my high school baseball uniform if I want to, but I still have to play it progressive. Like, you know, it's just give me a little bit. Just give me something like that. And while you're at it and while you're talking to developers as we're wrapping up with Brian, is can you also talk to the people at Madden and see if they can at least let us create our own uniforms? Because I love it in NBA. I love it in MLB The Show. But then when I started doing it on Madden, I'm like, oh, I got to choose a team uniform. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I actually had someone tell me once, we're not sure if our community wants to be able to create uniforms. They may want to see themselves in their team. I said, who are you? Who have you been talking to?
No, no, because you know what we want? We want NCAA football back. So we want to be able to create our football teams again.
Right.
That's what we want.
I don't see anybody that wants that. So, you know, but a lot of one thing that gamers, especially sports video gamers, have to realize, a lot of the limitations and things that we don't see in games actually has a lot to do with the license itself. The NFL restricts, and this shouldn't surprise anybody who's familiar with the NFL, but the NFL restricts quite a bit of the ideas that EA may have that they want to do with their game because ultimately they're in charge of their license. And as long as EA is using their license, they have the authority to dictate how it's being used. So that's the reason why tattoos were such a big thing. That's the reason why you don't really see tattoos in MLB The Show, because the major league, the organizations, the leagues are saying, no, we don't want that in. Don't put that in.
Gotcha. Okay, awesome. Now, final question for you. Who's winning, Goldberg or Brock Lesnar? Because I know you watch WWE as well.
Yes, sir. I think Lesnar has to win. My expectations are not high for the match at all. Yeah. I just don't think Goldberg can work a full match.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that they are hiding him with these squashes. And I know he's always had squash matches in his career, but I think they're hiding him with this. And they're going to have to be really creative to drag this bad boy out because, I mean, if you look at him, he delivers one spear and he's huffing and puffing like he's been doing insanity videos and tie bow right afterwards for like 45 minutes. So I think that's the issue.
I agree. I feel like it's 1998 again and they're trying to hide his wrestling ability.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right. Hey, Brian, man, I appreciate you coming on and enjoying the MLB The Show with us and talking about it with us, man. Thanks, you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a great one. That's Brian Mazeek of Forbes Magazine talking about MLB The Show. I'm telling you, the game's legit. The moment the Capital City Classic ends tonight, I'm heading right back. I'm getting right back on it. I'm telling you, it is such a good-looking baseball game. It is such a good-looking game.
Your city, your station, your voice. This is The Fallout on Sports Radio 740.